everyone's celebration went well this past week. Ours went well. We had a couple of smaller ones. Gatherings, lots of food. I think Christmas food has no calories, so we're good in that department. I think it does have lots of sugar, calorie-free sugar. But I hope everyone else had a good time as well. We're going to continue in Mark today. We're going to be in Mark chapter 12, verse 28, as we continue our study together. As you were going out and doing the last minute shopping or your Christmas plans, going to your dinners, whatever it was, did you do any driving? Do any driving this week? Get out and about? Did you have to pass through any stop signs or stoplights? Probably one or two here or there. They're few and far between out here where we are at, but you see more as you go to town. We know green means go, and we know yellow means use caution and slow down because red is coming. Yellow does not mean speed up to make it. That might be news. Like it's news to me. Yellow does not mean speed up to make it. We know red means stop, and the stop sign means stop. It does not mean pause or slow down to make sure it's clear. It means stop. We know this. Everyone knows this. And yet sometimes our lives do not reflect that we know this. Sometimes stop means just pause to us, right? Or maybe that's just our vehicles. I'm not going to point out who drives our vehicles, but maybe that's just our vehicles. Pause instead of stop. It's all of us, right? We know the rules. We know the things that we're supposed to do. We know the things that we do every day of our lives. They're automatic to us. But sometimes our life does not reflect that we know it. What we'll look at today is Jesus speaking on a couple of commands of God that we all know and all hold important. And yet many of our lives do not reflect this at times. We blur the lines to where stop means both stop and just pause. We will look at it in three parts today. God is one. Love God with everything you have. And love everyone else. Mark 12, starting in verse 28. Let's stand as we read God's word together. Verse 28. And one of these scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far off from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning together. We just ask you to guide our hearts and our minds as we enter your holy word today. Help us see what you have for us and apply it to our lives as we leave this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last week we had our Christmas celebration in the looked at the birth of Jesus together. This was a great time of celebration together. Today we're back in Mark and continuing our interaction between Jesus and these religious leaders in the temple. We still have our picture in the PowerPoint presentation to show us what this temple meant to them, the vastness it covers in this area, the importance it is to their lives. We are still in the temple. It is actually still Tuesday, and Jesus dies on Friday. If you remember 3 weeks ago, I know that's tough. I don't remember 3 weeks ago. We looked at Jesus and the Pharisees, and it involved following the authority of man or the authority of God. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the Sadducees, and it was about marriage and the resurrection. This week, we see Jesus with an interaction with the scribe. Now, the scribes are mentioned often and are usually with Pharisees, and they are scholars. They are religious leaders and are studying God's word, and they are the ones copying Scripture. The scribes are in many ways the reason why we have Scripture. They were the ones copying to pass it along. These are the scribes. There's something else intriguing about our conversation today. It is not negative. It is not a trap. It is a genuine observation and question by this scribe. In verse 28, the scribe sees that Jesus knows his stuff and wants to know something from him. We said they're scholars, and this one wants to learn what Jesus thinks and compare it to what he himself believes. What is the question? Which commandment is most important of all? Let's break down the response of Jesus. We will begin with God is one. There is only one God. Jesus begins his response here by quoting the Shema. This is a word meaning to hear, and this Shema is Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel." That's where they get the word from. "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house, and on your gates." They followed this text. They memorized this text. They literally wore this text on their wrists and on their foreheads, and they had it written on their doorposts. Oh, how different our world would look if this text was practiced by all. Love God with everything you have and teach your children to do the same. This was important to them, and this scribe would have appreciated Jesus starting here. What we're looking at first is this idea of God being one. This meant that there was only one God. The God of Israel was the only God. This stood against every religion in this area. The Canaanites were polytheistic in nature. They believed in many gods. So did the Egyptians. So did the Romans. This concept stood out all on its own. One God, and one God alone. Jesus affirms this here. Do we believe in one God? Of course. What about the Trinity? Where does this leave us in this one God conversation? Well, fun fact. The word Trinity is never used in the Bible. Never there. This does not mean the concept is not there. As Christians, we believe in one God in three
persons, the Father and Son and Spirit, all exist apart from one another, yet connected and are all God. Not each a piece of God or separate gods, but one God. Not a simple concept, right? Many scholars that know all things Bible have struggled to put this into words. I will not stand before you and act like I can do any better where so many have failed. But let's look at what Scripture says about this. We know God the Father. In the beginning, God created. Ephesians 4:6 says, one God and Father of all. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. We know God the Father. How about God the Son? We know Him too, right? God so loved the world that He sent His Son. This sending is what we celebrated this week. Isaiah 9 says, this child born will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. John 1 says, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do we get this? With God and was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Word is Jesus. Colossians says that everything created was created through the Son, and all things are held together by Him. This is Jesus. This is God the Son. How about God the Spirit? We don't think a whole lot about God the Spirit, do we? God the Spirit was sent to Jesus at His baptism, which has the Father, Son, and Spirit all present in that text. And Jesus said God the Spirit would come after us, after Him. Remember that? John 14 alludes to this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Again, all three in that verse. It is interesting that we overlook the Spirit oftentimes. God the Father is in heaven. Jesus, God the Son, became flesh and dwelt among us so He could save us through His sacrifice. And now as He is in heaven, though He will one day return. God the Spirit resides within us. God the Spirit is the one changing us, forming us, leading us. There is no salvation without God sending and Jesus sacrificing. And there is no salvation without the Spirit changing your heart. John 6:63 says this, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. 1 John 4:13, by this we know that we abide in Him and Him in us because He has given us His Spirit. Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into us through His Spirit who has been given. Remember the Shema and what God's people were memorizing, what they were doing? They were trying to keep God's word at all costs. They wore it. They sang it. They wrote it on their walls and taught it to their children. We must keep God's words. We must keep God's laws. This is what was going through their minds. And this is how they tried to accomplish it. Guess what? They failed. We have all failed. This is why the Son was sent, and this is why the Holy Spirit was sent. We looked at it last week during our Christmas celebration. No one could keep their focus on God. So God said, there's a time coming when I will keep it for you. I will write it on your hearts. I will do what you cannot. This was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to pay the price. And this is the Spirit of God working inside of you. Everyone who believes in Jesus and has heaven secured for them has God's Spirit at work in their life. This is why our writers of the New Testament continue to say, check your life, check your walk, test yourselves to make sure you believe what you say you believe. It is because there is only one way to be saved. And Ephesians says, this one way is not done by us. We cannot do it. It takes all three persons of God to do it. And the Spirit is the one working in you. And your footprint in this world reveals it. The Lord God is one and is at work in three persons. And they are all of equal importance in your life. Can you see this work in your life? The work of the Trinity. The Lord God is one. Let's continue on to the next part of the answer from Jesus here. He says, love God with everything you have. What does Jesus say the most important commandment is? And you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. There are two things I want to point out here. The first is that we know this verse. We know this is the most important commandment. It was the most important in the Old Testament, and Jesus taught it here as most important, and his disciples continued to teach it after he is gone. If someone asked us this question, our response would be to love God above all things. We know this and understand this, and we just said that this love comes from the Spirit guiding us. What is the other thing to see here? The second thing to point out is that this verse should terrify us. Why, Pastor? We just said we believe it. That's great, but it doesn't actually say to just love God, does it? It says love God with everything you have. All your heart, and all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. We just said this is the most important thing we are told to do in the Bible outside of believe in the Lord Jesus. And it reveals the work of the Spirit within you. The question is, how many of us can claim we do it? This is different than just claiming to love God. This is different than just showing up to church or reading our Bibles occasionally. It is different, and we all know it, and we have to look no further than everyone's favorite proverb to see this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. We tend to focus in on the straight path part and gloss over the give Him your all part. What does it look like to put everything you have into something? We do not really have a box for this, right? As Americans, we are pulled 1,000 different directions throughout our week. Stuff at home and stuff at work, family things and marriage things and kid things and health things. We are stretched thin as a culture. And during this past year that we have all endured, some have been stretched more thin than others. This past year, with all its imperfections, did help us out in one important way. It slowed us down. When we are going in every direction, then how can we say one direction is our priority? This pandemic has given us an opportunity to focus in on what's important. Maybe a good example of this, giving your all as a professional athlete. Let's take basketball as an example. A basketball player devotes its whole life to training, to doing drills, to dribbling, to shooting, to conditioning. Every moment of every day is pushing this athlete to be better at basketball. This player becomes the best in the world, and everyone knows that it's because they have poured everything into it. On the other hand, we can look at, say, a recreational golfer. Maybe they claim that golf is the most important thing to them, but they only play six times a year and never practice. They claim golf is a priority, but cannot keep a ball in play. Which one is closer to this idea of God giving your all? The basketball player. Now, everyone in here claims God as their priority. The most important thing in your life. But what does your life actually reveal? Are you closer to pouring out all your heart and soul like this basketball player? Or are you closer to the weekend golf warrior? Which one is it? This is why this verse should be scary to us. Christians all across this country blame God as a priority, and their life reveals them to be weekend warriors at best. Now, this does not mean do not ever do anything else, but it does mean that everyone around you can tell what is most important. What can they tell about you? Now, there are some things that we can do to look more like the basketball player and less like the weekend golfer. First, we realize that it is only the Spirit of God inside of us that can draw us in to love God with everything we have. We cannot do it on our own. If we could, then we did not need Jesus. So we realize our need for God. Then we read this book even when we do not want to. We pray even when we do not have the words. And we show up to the body of Christ even when everything in our life says, take this Sunday off. The pull of the world is strong, but the pull of God is stronger. Is He pulling you? Give it all to God. There's another part to this answer from Jesus here. He says, love everyone else. Yourself. We remember this as children. You would do whatever the thing is that you did to someone else that was wrong, however you treated them poorly. I say whatever you did because I obviously never treated anyone poorly or did anything wrong growing up. You guys believe that, right? So we treated someone poorly, and what were we told? How would you like it if someone treated you like that? Treat others like you want to be treated. Whoever that was in your life telling you this was teaching you Scripture, even if they did not know it. Notice here that this scribe asked for the most important commandment, and Jesus gave him two. Love the Lord and love others. Why does Jesus link the two together? Well, we may say it's because God links them together. We just read the Shema. That is what it said. This is correct, but it is not really answering the question because Jesus is, in fact, God. So what is the reason for the linking? Well, 1 John 4:7 says this. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever has been born of God, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. What does John tell us here? Loving others reveals the love given to you by God. This is why it is important and why it is linked to the first. Loving God with everything you have is important and reveals if you have God's Spirit within you and you love others with this same Spirit. Romans 13 says, whoever loves another fulfills the law. Seems pretty important. What does this look like? Spoiler, it is not the love you have for your family. Loving those who love you is not fulfilling the law, since loving family is not like loving yourself, but is actually loving yourself. It's loving your inner circle, those who love you. It is not that simple. It is loving those around you who are not in your circle that this refers to. Now, Paul does give us a passage that lets us know what loving others should look like. And we know it well since we use it for weddings. Though we probably do not apply it to everyone in our life. What does it say? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Now this is what love should look like, and it is how God has loved us. This might be the easiest way for us to see that we cannot do this thing called Christianity on our own power, by our own will. Why? Because we love to boast. We love to be arrogant and rude. We love to rejoice at the downfall of others, even if we will not admit it. And we can bear almost nothing on our own. These verses reveal to us what love should look like. And they reveal to us that we cannot accomplish it on our own. This is why these two commandments are linked. If we are loving God with everything we have, it means that His Spirit has gotten us to that point. And it means by the same Spirit is how we love others. It can happen no other way. We love the world and the ways of the world. And we were being pulled in by the world until God stepped in and said there was a better way. God sent His Son. And the Son of God humbled Himself to show us the way. He died to show us the way. Then He sent the Spirit to show us the way. Love God with everything we have and love others along the way. But do both knowing that the Spirit of God is with you and will guide you when you do not know the way. The Spirit is with you. Today we have looked at the fact that there is only one God and He exists in three persons and it took all three to save us. We also looked at the fact that Jesus calls us to love God with everything we have and above all things, and He also calls us to love everyone else in our lives. This is difficult at times, but we do not do it on our own. We have the church of God around us, and we have the Spirit of God within us, and we have Jesus as our example. He loved the Father with everything He had, all the way to the cross. And He loved everyone else on the cross. I want to close with the words of Jesus to this scribe that should be heard by every one of us. The scribe agreed with everything Jesus said here. God is one. Love Him and love others, and the laws are fulfilled. This is great news. One of these religious leaders gets it. Then Jesus says this to this scribe. You are not far from the kingdom of God. He didn't congratulate you or say you did it. You are in. This is not what He said. He said, you are not far off. What is this scribe missing? Acknowledging Jesus as the Son of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Scripture says the path is narrow and Jesus is the only way onto the path. He is the only door. Everything we've talked about today only happens as the result of the Trinity working in your life. What does this mean for us? It means that being able to see the door does not mean you have entered the door. Agreeing with Scripture and applying it to your life is not what saves you. How do we know? It did not get described to Jesus. You can never do enough to walk through this door on your own. Never. Jesus is the door, and belief in Him is the only way. Faith is the only way. The lives we live in this world will never pave the way to heaven. They only reveal if we have put our hope in the Son and have been gifted the Spirit by God the Father. This is the only way to heaven. As we leave this morning, the question on your heart should be this: which path are you on? Are you paving your own way? Or are you on the path paved by God? How can we tell the Spirit is leading our lives? Well, how can we tell? We love God with everything we have, and we're loving others along the way. Not perfectly, but we are doing it. We are attempting it. We are in it. Maybe you need to come as we sing and pray for the courage to address the things in your life pulling against the God you love, pulling you away from the narrow path. Maybe you need to come this morning and profess your faith in the Son. None of us are perfect, but loving God and loving others reveals our faith in the one who is perfect, Jesus Christ. He can be your Savior today. Are we in it all? Bring any needs you have to our Heavenly Father as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning together. We thank you for so many things in our lives. We know this past year has been long and hard for many. Job loss. Loss of loved ones, injuries and sickness, this pandemic, all the hate and issues surrounding us in our daily life. Father, we know these things. We come to you now as we have dove into your word and seen your commands for us. We just ask for the courage and the strength to apply these things to our life. Help us. Be guided by the Spirit as we walk out of this place. Help us to reach out to those who need. They need your Son, and they need help. Father, help us to be your people and to focus in on you and the things you want us to do. Be with us now.